Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We're looking at leading, knowing, and following the leading of the Spirit, and recognizing. And we said that you have to be taught. And to Christianity and Christian living is built on knowledge. You have to know. And so you have to be taught what it means to follow the leading of the Spirit. What does it mean? How do I recognize it? And how do I follow it when I recognize it? So those are very important things that we are learning. And so you learn that. Now, let me refresh our minds. And we said, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Let's look closely. Look at the pictures. Look at the phrases. Look at it. I'm with you always. And we found out how is he with you. He's with you in the indwelling. John 14, 16, 17, and then verse 20. He's with us in the indwelling. That's where he's with us. In other words, that means we must pay attention to the indwelling. Hallelujah. You have to pay attention. When we say, where is Christ today? You say, he is in me. So you must therefore pay attention to the indwelling. Now, we said the word Matthew in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. Make disciples means to train people to learn. So there's a training to it. And let me add this. In the Christian faith, we walk with walking knowledge. And that's why when you're praying for believers, the most important thing you pray for believers about is that their eyes are continually enlightened by the word. It is not good enough to have a reservoir of knowledge. I remember years ago, I used to work in a church as the associate pastor, and we had a call to take a decision about the ministry. And I now mentioned something in that conversation. I said, the inward witness, I was trying to explain, because the person saw a dream, had a dream. Then he tried to interpret the dream, because the dream had to do with soldier ants. And I was in the boarding house. Soldier ants were a norm. I haven't had a case where I piloted soldier ants to someone's locker. I know how to do it. Because soldier ants were far distance. Those that were away were brought near to the covenant. I brought them very close to the guy's window, and so on and so forth. So when I saw that, and I said, so he tried to interpret, he said, soldier ants, therefore the devil. I said, no. Let's follow the inward witness. What do you have in your spirit? He said, drop all that aging stuff. That's what he said. It was 23 years ago. He said, drop all that aging stuff. I know it. Is that not the inward witness, the audible voice? He told me everything. The audible voice, the inward witness. He said, I know it. Of course, he'd been born again before I was. But I am still born again. I read it. And I goes, yes. And again, I remember that one of the libraries I used back then, he gave me the access to use the library to study. So when he said that, I just said, well, just like I met him last year, I cracked a joke over it, just laughed over it. He said, you're still doing that Higgins thing. I said, yes, I see you all over that. Yeah, I am, still. Oh, and I said, well, you're probably still looking out for soldiers, you know. But we just joked about it and we left. But the point is, he knew it. That's just the truth. He heard it out before. You don't outgrow spiritual growth. You don't outgrow it. Hallelujah. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. So that means that Christ is the indwelled person. The one inside us today is the Christ. And we know his voice. Hallelujah. John's Gospel 10. We know his voice. His voice is the voice of the Good Shepherd. John's Gospel chapter 10. And verse 4. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. And they know his voice. I told you the word voice, there is language. They know his language. The language. The way he speaks. Hallelujah. Know his voice. The way he speaks. In other words, he will speak with the voice of salvation. I can recognize it. Because I am saved. You know the voice. You recognize it. Because you are saved. The reason why you know and recognize God's leading, his voice, is because you are saved. You are born again. So you know that. You recognize that voice. Hallelujah. You recognize, you know it. You don't know it by experience, you know it because you are saved. You know the voice. And so Christ is an active Savior. He leads us in us. So I know, therefore, that he leads me in me. Say, he leads me in me. Praise the Lord. So, last week we looked at, he'll lead you to sit down. Remember that? And oftentimes we look out for the spectacular. And we miss the supernatural. See, the spectacular does happen a lot of times. But the spectacular usually is an exception. There is a simple way you are led by God. A very simple way. We said last week, he will lead you to keep quiet. To listen. Because he said in Luke 10, Mary, your sister, has chosen the good part. And it shall not be taken from her. So that means the good part is to sit down and listen. Hallelujah. He'll lead you to listen. To sit down. And listen. Hear me well. There's nothing in God that makes a man impulsive. And then he's rushing. Nothing. In fact, in Romans 15:4, Paul says, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures. I showed you that over to the Exodus. God's patience. God's patience. And comfort of the scriptures. So, We are taught in Christ. So I'm led. I know God's leading when I have to learn. And hear me well. I'm talking generally. God's leading will cause you to learn, to sit down and be at the position of learning. Because God's Spirit is a teaching spirit. Are you still there? God's Spirit is a teaching spirit. And because you are also, you have God's Spirit, you are a teachable spirit. See, I'm a teachable spirit. So you've got a teaching spirit and a teachable spirit. So just like Mary there, you are among the disciples learning. How do I recognize God's leading? He leads me to learn. Hallelujah. Someone told me this years back. 2001 or so, 2000, one of the 2 years, looks like yesterday. And she says, sir, no, he says, not he, not she, I wish you stop learning the word for 6 months and then give us some time so that we can catch up with you. Like 19 years ago, can catch up with you. And I said, what a very reprobate spirit is that? You know? But then I added there, I said, it's not possible to stop learning if you are led of God. It's not possible. Because He leads you to learn. So how do I recognize God's leading? Christ leads me to learn. Because he says, to make disciples, mathetuo, to cause people to be students. And mathetuo is taken from the word mathetes, where you have the word disciple, M-A-T-H-E-T-S. And mathetes is where you have the word amantano, mantano, that would be the opposite. Mantano is M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O, which is to learn, the art of learning. So if I'm led by God, I am learning. Even experiences that He causes me to have, He tells me to learn. I'm learning. Praise the Lord. I tell this to pastors when I'm talking to them. I said, hard members, if you have never had a hard member before, a tough member, a very tough member, who gives you hard times. And there's this sister, she's a pastor now, met her years ago. I used to, when I'm coming back, and I'm going home, done home, she has this, she was in a chemist, selling, no, it's a chemist in Nigeria, you know what I mean. Okay, drugstore. Is that what she calls it? A big girl, a pharmacy. It was not a pharmacy. But they sell drugs in there, sell, you know, it's in Nigeria, you sell drugs and everything. In the same place. That's what I mean by chemist. You know what I'm talking about? Interpretation. And so right in that job, she used to sell bread. You know what I mean? So I'm going back and I'm mostly talking about 9 o'clock in the evening. So I branch. And so we get to buy nothing. And she give me bread. And I'll go. Then I'll buy stuff later and all that. So I began to disciple. I got out saved. And then I gave her a book. She said, I can't read this rubbish. You know, you first of all think, are you sure this lady is born again? And she gave me a rough time. And I'll get back at it. And I'll get back at it. And all that. One time she was right there, she had to tell her sister, tell him I'm not here. And I had the voice. This was 25 years ago. You have done that kind of follow up before. Look at some of you don't know anything. You can use phone now. Phone? You will not walk there to know the person is not there. I will walk. I know I can walk. I like walking. I really like walking. I used to walk from, shall I tell you? From Third Mainland Beach, the beginning, down to this kind of area. I used to walk. I walk from K to K. I just walk. I like walking. I still do it. I watched it just come up and I walked from Shagam to Ogere. And back. I used to walk a lot. I like walking. I still do it. So I walk and walk and get to your house. You know I'm coming, you know, because we said the other day, we meet at 4 o'clock, they say, yeah, yes, I'm very grateful, bro. Come on. And I'll get there, they say, ah, he just left. He just left. And oftentimes, the person is right there, up, around, when he has gone, come and tell me. But I say, wow. Because oftentimes you want to give up. What kind of, what individual is this? One time I went to do a follow-up, and the guy just deliberately, with his friend, brought you over wickedness book like that. Have you read this before? Somebody I got saved. Should you tell me something? You were going to hell. I said, I want you to answer every question. In follow-up. You know, that time you can get angry and bitter. But if you know how God leads you, you will learn. You're learning something. Listen. The act of God's Spirit will cause you to listen. So yes, I wanted to ask this. So later on, when the lady now got serious as a Christian, the process is not very easy. Got serious as a Christian, now became a leader, and then came to me and said, I said, no, can you imagine? She's complaining. Can you imagine such and such person? And he just walked away. So I went there. You are reaping what you sow. Exactly. You know what you use my eyes to see in English and Yoruba? Really, but you learn. And I tell leaders, when an experience comes like that in the ministry, you say, Lord, I'm listening. Hallelujah. I'm listening. I'm learning to walk in love, to be patient. I'm learning to be faithful. So you must be learning. God's Spirit causes you to learn. You know, it's the experiences of Jesus that makes us today call him the perfect Savior. His faithfulness was proven. So you learn. The Bible says we learn obedience. Hebrews 5:8, through the things that he suffered, we learn. You look at it. At that point, you want to react. But when you listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, it is time to learn long suffering. And you learn. That's when you learn to pray for someone who just crossed you. How do you change your reaction? You listen to the inward witness. You listen to the Good Shepherd. Because at that point, like I said the other time, his leading reproduces himself. That is, the character of God's leading is the character of Christ. He is not the one that led you to slap the vessel. Sender to sender, what is it called? Return to sender. No. Leads you to learn. So you will learn. Sometimes you sit back and say, Father, I know you're teaching me something in your word here. Yeah. Then those experiences, remember, pictures and phrases will come back. You're teaching me to be consistent. So you'll say, hey, Pastor, what I was doing to you too, God was teaching you something. Hallelujah. So teach us to learn. Now, let's look at today. What else can I recognize? He teaches me to give. The Spirit of God will lead me to give. Because in the nature of the character of God revealed in Christ to us, He gives of His own fullness that we all receive. John 1:16, grace for grace. The leading of the Spirit of God leads us away from selfishness. Away from selfishness. He leads us into Christ-centeredness. Look at Matthew's Gospel 16. You still there? Are you still there? He leads us to learn. He leads us to give. He leads you to give. Jesus just told His disciples in verse 20, then changed His charge to His disciples that they should know, tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ, Matthew's Gospel 16. From that time forth began to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be far from Thee, Lord, this shall not be unto you. Now, let me ask you, if for example, you say something to a brother and say, well, I sense that I will pass through suffering, and you mention the suffering, don't let me be specific so you don't get scared, but then you pass through this, that this is going to happen, you're going to have a very tough time. And then you say that in the ears of your parents or your wife or your children or your husband or your sibling or a brother in church or a sister, and you say, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name is not your portion. You ride in the abyss of His life. You will glide like the eagle in the sky. Your leg will not touch the ground. You will fly in the prosperity of the nations. You know, you say, wow, that looks like the word of God. Right? It looks like the will of God. Oh, yeah, thank you, sir. You can even say, thank you for such encouraging words. Thank you for, wow. You just spoke what ministered. How do we say it? It ministered to what I was going through. It touched my heart. That looks good. Be far from you in the name of Jesus. I declare and I prophesy. Ah, shall die. Hallelujah. Whether you like it or not, that's what I want to hear. Praise the Lord. That's what I want to hear. If you observe, most prophecies in January are always against the government. The talk, this talk, that one. When you now turn to the church, you see in the land of Goshen. This is your year of supernatural speed. In this year, all the miracles of the past 20 years are coming to you. This is what the Lord is saying. But because you don't like the government, they will have problems. The traditional ruler will die. The governor will have accidents. Pray for him. His deputies will fight him and they will be disloyal. It's politics. That's no prophecy. But you now say sweet, sweet things to believers so that they will be comfortable in the church and not go to another church. So they will have sweet, sweet things. So by the time it's around October, November, no matter what you are going through this year, your miracle will not escape you. Then when you get to December, the miracle of the last hour. It's a simple way. It's not difficult to understand. But it's interesting that when you look at the Word of God, reverse is the case. But sometimes when you want to, hear what you want to hear. Alright? And so he said, be far from you. And then Jesus responds to this guy, that's Peter. He says, get behind me, Satan. Wow. Thou art an offense unto me. That means you want to cause me to sin. That's what it means, offense. So thou savorest, now use the word for you, you are exalting not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. You are exalting, you take delight in the things that be of men and not of God. Hallelujah. The things that be of men. You know, there are two kinds of leading that happen. There's a leading in the world, and there's a leading in Christ. A leading in the world. The world already has a set pattern. Who chose the number of years in the primary school? Is it Paul? Huh? No, it's not Jesus, it's not God. Who chose secondary school? Who chose university? It's not God. God is involved in that. Men are involved in that. And men have, you know, I remember a story that Charles G. Finney is a revivalist of the 19th century. He was a young budding lawyer while he was in the law school to graduate. So he said he met one old man and he asked him, Charles, how are you doing? He said, I'm fine. So what are your plans? He said, well, I intend to get out of law school and then learn under so and so person for a few years. After that, well, I intend to have my own chambers, you know, have my own money. So after that, I'll get married. After that, I'm going to have children. After that, I'll have more money. After that, do better as a lawyer. After that, I'll have children. After that, what? You know, he said, you didn't say anything about God. You didn't say anything about God. Don't you think that someday you're going to go back to God? He said, he never knew or never done them. And sometimes we all have after that. But you see, salvation changes the course of our life and how we think and how we live. He says, you savor not the things that be of God, but that be of men. Look at the next verse. Then he said to them, if any man will come after me. So put your pen and write the word leading of the Spirit. If any man will come after me, that's not salvation. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. What profits a man? What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So he said, in following me, you deny yourself. Then you look, well, lose there means to give. So that means one characteristic of the leading of the Spirit, that's the leading of Christ, is that we are led to what? To give. God doesn't lead us into selfishness. The world already is crafted for us to be selfish. He leads us away from selfishness. He leads us to give. So, a characteristic nature to recognize God's leading in my life, I must see a leading to give. He leads me to give. To give what? He leads me to give myself. myself. So I can ask the question, does this lead me to give? I should ask that. In other words, I am God's voice leading me to give. Praise the Lord. That's not like the world. The world wants me to take and become. But he's leading me to give. To give my time. To give my time. To give my time to others, for example. He leads me. Because selfishness blocks my ears or my hearing from hearing God. When I'm built around self, like I said, the world already leads us. Alright? To get, to own, to become. He leads us the other way. And sometimes that will be a conflict. It'll be a conflict. I'm being led by God's Spirit to give. To give my time. I give what I have in my hands. For example, you don't give what you can control. That's not giving, right? You give what you can control. My time, what is within my time, I'm led by God to give it. To give it for others. To give it for what we said earlier, to listen and learn. So I must yield to God when he tells me to give. Very simple. All that we want to hear is something, a thunder rolling somewhere. No, simple things. He leads me to learn. He leads me to give. Hallelujah. He leads me to give. Let's break it down just some very simple things. Let me ask you today, and you probably should answer this question. When last did you feel led to give something material to someone that never asked you? Just ask you that. When last did you feel led? You just sense it. I think just maybe a name just came up on your heart. Or you saw someone in an appearance. And then, you just sensed. And sometimes we could be so selfish that we would throw away that logic. Now, look at a few things. Sometimes you look at a brother and then it's like your attention goes back to the same person. Then you try to take your eyes away and you go back. I'm not talking about something else. Well, you saw someone dressed very fine, look at them and say, wow. Now, what are you saying? Say what? I'm saying, look at this. When that happens, what do you do? I'll teach you a bit of that next week. But when that happens, you say, Lord, what are you telling me? Because you are born of God, you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Hallelujah. What do you want me to do? So sometimes you just got your salary and right there, as you're planning this and planning, you grab, take 5,000, send it to that person. You feel, he didn't tell me anything. He didn't ask me anything. No, he didn't. Hallelujah. That's God's character. So when last did you have that happen? You were just led to give. Just to give. So let's get back to the kind of deal. Come back to this later. So we're led to give our time, led to give our resources. Jesus leads us to do what His Word says. Jesus leads me to do what His Word says. Say it again. Jesus, by His Spirit, leads me to do what His Word says. The led to give. Sometimes you see the person and I'm like, what's about this person? I'm coming to that as well, because that's a bit more expanded than just giving material things, but He just puts it on your heart. Give to that brother. Praise the Lord. I know a couple, this is a bit strange, you know? They're just led by God. Go adopt so and so person. The story I learned years ago, and they adopted the boy. They now found out that his parents were late. They didn't know. God told them to adopt the boy. And they adopted him, and he became a missionary. He wasn't even saved when they adopted him. He said, I led you to make him your son, so you can nurture him for his ministry. You know that? We should be having things like that more. What do you think? We should be having things like that more. Because God will see, God's leading, alright, is about His plan. You know, after just adopted the boy, and he grew up. He shared the story in the 90s. I was in the meeting. He said, I was adopted. He said, that's why I never knew my parents. Someone adopted me, led by God's Spirit. Imagine us yielding ourselves like that. You say, well, why could I do this? I mean, I already have my own kids, or I want to have my own kids. You know, all those things just come to you. I already have my own kids, I want to have my own kids, or how much am I earning? You know, those things just come to your head. That's how the world thinks, right? That's how the world thinks. It can't be God. But He said He will bless the fruit of my youth. And you know, oftentimes, because you're born of God, as you're quoting those scriptures, you know in your heart you're wrong. So why am I feeling this way? Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember a brother. He just walked up to me. He was a younger brother of a fellow I worked with in ministry, and he just bought this material. That was my first strong exhausted confidence. And vines, not strong. And he said, I'm just led to give it to you. He said, my father, he's late, said he had this, and I've been using it, but God just told me to give it to me. You know, I have been believing God. Believe it. Because I was a member of the Marxist Media Club then, so I'd gotten some books. But you know, that particular material was the most expensive of all. So I was believing God. And I used to go sell kerosene then, and I used to sell kerosene and pure water then to sell, to get money and buy. But my money couldn't reach the target. I bought the books, I couldn't get it. It just was there. And he gave me, it's still with me. He said I was led to give it to you. That's just many years ago. Praise God. So today when I see the guy on Facebook, you know, this all this prophetic release, I don't see anything. I just keep quiet. I say, well, no, don't we forget, you know. I guess you, right? I guess you. But the point was, I know he was led. Because what a help that was for me then. Now I can afford it now. I can afford 10 of that per day. But you know what? Maybe I'll never have wanted to get it now if you didn't give me then. A lot of things work like that. I'm sure when his father bought it, the father did not know he was going to give it to me. I never met the dad. But that's how God does things. So we're left to give. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at how many people you give a teaching tape to. And it transformed their life. Forever. Because you gave. Now, what of yielding more like that? Relentless. Give to this person. A dear friend shared the story of how he was just led to go to a particular guy's church. And the guy would go there and release 36 prophetic keys for the next blessing. And he would quote all that. He said he just went there, said God just told him, just go there and sit there. He just sat there. You know, some of us will have gone straight at him, just sat there. Until one day, the prophetic releaser, that came to him, I've always seen you just come and sit in our meetings. Is there any reason? Because his heart was troubling him. Apparently, himself and his wife were praying. You know, just praying. And this was the answer. And he sat down there. And he sat down and said, yeah, I was just led to come to you. Then he began to share God's word. He began to share God's word. And he shared God's word. He said, wow. He shared God's word. And that's how he made a turnaround in his ministry. Look at something as basic. Some of us, the first session, as his yearning what you don't believe, I was not blessed. But you know, sometimes just being there, God makes you learn something. Learn something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You learning something here? Learn to give. So, friends, God will ask you to give part of your time. It's in your control. Part of your time. Make it available to someone else. You give your time. You also give your resources. I've asked the question, when last were you laid on your heart to just bless someone? Laid on your heart. Laid on your heart. Praise the Lord. Years ago, I used to teach in a meeting, and I would teach from morning to night. So I was fasting. So I'll teach and I'll go. So a particular person just said she was led to cook. Now, it didn't make sense. It won't make sense to you now because my fasting had lack of food inducement as well. I was breaking my fast with water. Now the day I broke fast of 2 days straight with just coconut. It wasn't planned. I get the coconut and I just told myself, hallelujah. 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 Shonda. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, oh yeah. So when the food came, I was like, hey. You have not checked yourself and like, oh, you should have. I've not eaten real food for about 10 days. I was just shocking. That's how I like soft drink. Sometimes I'll fast for maybe 3 weeks. And almost all the 3 weeks I'll break in the evening and just cook. So cook now became the way I tasted food generally. So if someone gives me food and I say that, this is the gummy Mark 16. I just said, can I have a drink? I just take a drink and just pass it away. To take off poisons, you know. I learned that way. But look at how those simple things. Simple things. Sometimes you have to learn to give. When you are ready to hear God ask you to give, you will know how to respond to giving. Praise the Lord. I saw a guy advertise a program. And God said, pick your phone and call. I sent my number to him. I said, call. He asked, send me a number. So I called. I said, have you paid for the bill of that meeting you advertised? He said, well, I need to make our bills are paid. I said, answer my question directly. He said, no, sir. He said, we're expecting. And you know, because I was a younger minister, when I say I'm expecting, I want to more organize a program before. That the money we're expecting, yeah, we were given a promise program will go start on Friday. What was supposed to come on Thursday, we now get was the community. And we had done the flyers. So what do we do? I said, which of the equipment people do you know? We all now went for three different sets of people with equipment. So when one brings one, and we don't pay him, he fights and doesn't come again. So we're exchanging all of them, changing them to the last meeting on Sunday. When the meeting was over, we were blessed. By the Monday, the money now came. So I knew what he meant, but we were waiting. So I said, how much is it? He said, so amount. And at that point, I knew I didn't have much money on me in my account. I had to get the money elsewhere, and I sent it to him. So I said, but if God leads you, the money should have been in the account. When you were looking for school fees, money to get married, was the money in your account? Was the people's accounts? And you got it together, and you said, thank God. You know what you did? And he was so glad. When I saw the videos of those who got born again at the crusade, he said, thank God I obeyed. If we all can just listen to that leading, sometimes that leading may just be food. It doesn't have to be what's in your account. So Jesus leads us to give. To give our time and to give our resources. He's a great shepherd. He laid his life down. So whatever he's leading us with is that same life. The life of giving. So it's a life of giving. So God leads me into a life of giving. A life of giving. Hear me. Your spiritual growth and the leading of the Spirit are one and the same. Your spiritual growth and the leading of the Spirit are one and the same. He's going to lead you to grow. And leading you to grow, he's going to lead you to give. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He leads me to give. I want to ask a question I asked earlier. When was the last time you were led by God to give to someone who never asked of you? When was the last time you were led of God to give to someone that never asked of you? If that doesn't happen to you often, go renew your mind. That means you have a selfish mindset about yourself. Do you know that God can lead you to empty your account for people? You are aware of that? Are you aware of that? Come on, guys, you are aware of that? He can lead you. Yeah. Yeah. Secondly, he leads us to pray. Hallelujah. You know, there's prayer. When we pray, you wake up in the morning and then you pray. prayer chain. Oh, I'm praying. Glory, I'm praying. Glory to God, I'm praying. You come for the prayer group meetings, you're praying. Just like when it comes to giving, you give in church. You give for church projects. You give to bless your pastor. Lovely. No, but he also leads you to pray in an unplanned manner. And hear me well. Just like I mentioned giving, it's just someone's. Does it happen to you that someone's image doesn't just leave your heart? Come on, let me say this. You say, wow, yes. What's going on? And you find, why am I seeing, now, you know what I'm talking about now. I'm not saying, let's go and meet a lady and say, well, I was not thinking about you. God sees my heart. I wasn't thinking about you. But God just kept bringing. I remember one day a friend of mine said this. When he said, God was just showing you to me. He said, that means God is the one that wants to marry me. He's the one that saw me. What an answer. So you just discover the person's picture comes up. And not because it was a proud discussion. He asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? Praise God. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Remember? We said he uses phrases and pictures. All right? What do you want me to do? If I don't know anything at all, I'll pray. More often than not, that's a leading to pray. More often than not. Look at that Acts 10, where, from verse 5 down, where, no, not 5, from verse, I think verse 9, 10 or so, where Peter was praying and then he saw the need to go to the house of Cornelius. He didn't know that was what it was. And you're led to pray. You're led to pray. Years back, I was praying and then as I was praying, I saw the picture of a friend of mine. We're together in the ministry then, 1994, or 5 or so, 4, and I just saw his picture. And I saw he was troubled. I didn't know what it was. I just kept praying. I saw it again. Then I directed my prayer to his house. And I began to pray. I said, Lord, I just pray for Brother Lionel. And I began to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I said, I just knew, as I was praying, I just sensed to say, and I caused the blood to see in the name of Jesus. So I got to his house the next day because we walk with you see every day. I said, and I told him, I said, did you have any blood? So he said, was my mom. How did you know? Because I never told you. I said, I was led to pray. Hallelujah. I was led to pray. They can be led to pray. So when those pictures come back, use it positively. You're led to pray for people. Hallelujah. Jesus leads us to pray. If he could take in Matthew 17, his disciples to go and pray, he took them apart to pray. Jesus can lead you to pray. Sometimes he's not the regular prayer. He could just say, you know what? Spend some time the next few days. Next few days. I thought you were about bodies and prayer already. Next few days. Next few days. You weren't planning it. You weren't planning it. Just next few days. Next few days. Do 4 vigils. You know, he says, I bind you, devil. 4 vigils? 4 vigils? Are you praying? 4? Yeah! He says, spend the next few days nights praying. Have our times like that. I just said, Lord, say, you know, next month, take some good days and fast. And I'm not planning it. Sometimes you just talk another fast. A fast you plan to do. Then he says, oh, I want to do more. Say, no, the bridegroom is here. The fasting is not New Testament. It's New Testament. It's Old Testament. You're arguing, but you are led because Jesus was led of the Spirit through fast. Matthew 4 verse 1 and 2. You can be led to take a fast and pray. Just spend that time and pray. Could be a preacher. You pray. Learn to recognize these leadings. Learn to recognize these leadings. We said, you're led to listen and learn. You're led to give. You're led to give. Years ago, I went to Household of God Church, 2001. And so, in fact, the way I went to the church, I went there with budgeted finance. I knew the bus I wouldn't take. You know, when you know this trip, you don't have money for this, you have money for that. And then your friend said, do you have Uber on your phone? He said, I do, but it's not for this purpose. You know, I knew. So I got to the church and they were raising funds for the building. I didn't even hire the whole thing. I just heard the Lord say, give towards this. And give this amount. And when I got that amount, oh my word. I didn't have the amount, what? And the amount is just two. So, you know, I just believe God. As I believe God, the money will come. Now, why would God talk to us like that? It's to prepare your heart to obey. The money will come. So, I want to preach elsewhere. And I was teaching. Firstly, that was the church I preached in January 20, 2002. And there was a bomb blast that day. I was to preach there for 4 weeks. Alright, so I thought the first week, the second week, and the third week or so. So I was supposed to go. I was just led not to go. I said, well, I'm supposed to teach. I was led not to go. And that was me. And the bomb blast was not so far from that church. That's another thing. So I just said, okay, no problem. So I preached somewhere, and as I finished teaching, a guy walked up to me. He said, God told him to give me his salary, the whole sum. Now, I got there that day, absolutely, with all that would take me back. And I always tell him, I just want to teach the word and go. So the guy walks up to me. His sister actually got healed. And then he says, God spoke to him to give me his salary. And he mentioned the same amount. Now I had the damn thing in my head. I'm going, is this one or another one? What God told me to give was my money, it's not my money. It's only someone's money that's been given to me. I remember I got the money 2002, 2001, and I forgot to get promises. This is not yesterday. And I said, this money, keep it. And I was saying it in pain. So keep this money for me. I'm supposed to give it to Household of God. And I'm saying it. I'm telling someone else, can you help me raise for me? As if the money was maybe 50,000 naira. That's actually my first word was then. Nah. I said, then I tell someone to raise 500 naira for me. He said, you have 50,000 naira? I'll have it when it comes out. You know? So I had to rejoice. He said, Lord, I'm doing this in obedience. So I'm walking to the house of the God. And Pastor Chris Kuti is singing, and I'm going, oh yeah, I'm a cheerful giver. I am a cheerful giver. See how it went? He gave for me to give. Now, what did they use the money for? That's not the issue. I have learned from that leading how to give. That's what I'm particular about. Sometimes the experience, you don't need to go to the end of the experience, is what you learn from it. Let me see how you follow what I'm saying here. I just learned it. 2001. They were actually giving for their auditorium because they were supposed to pay a lease of another 10 years, and I was in the service. And I said, go give this amount. What amount? And that's what I did. Praise the Lord. time right now, I was there to go to a particular house. Go there every day. I'm saying, let's go there every day. And we'll be sharing God's word there every day. Every day. Listen. Every day. At those times, you are learning how to obey God. So we're led to give. We're also led to pray. Somebody asked me, I get myself waking up at night. I don't know what's waking me up. You are asking. You wake up at night. Don't go to the fridge. Hallelujah. But the way I'm showing right now on Netflix or showing on, you say, I'm up for something. I'm up for something. Start to pray. If you do that again, very soon you'll wake up on your own. You've now learned something. If you have not been led to pray that way in the last 1 year, check your life. To be led. To just pray. I've had prayers like that, pray, and it preserves people's lives. One time I was with my friends and tell them, oh, you guys are the battle. And I was like, go outside now and go to alumni center and start praying. And I just left. Now I just pray. I'm praying in tongues. And sometimes you pray for long before you know what you're praying about. And I got to know, oh, wow. What have you learned? Yeah, you prayed for someone, you've also learned obedience. So, in the leading of the Spirit of God, right, we must know He leads us to pray. To take time to pray. If you're a pastor, hear me well. If you're a pastor, which all of us in this church will eventually become, if you're a pastor leading men to Christ, hear me. When it comes to those people under you, God talks to you. If it's just one person that He puts you over, He talks to you about them. He talks to you. And it's not wise all the time to tell them, God has been talking to me about you. Keep quiet. Act on it. Act on it. Act on it. Act on it. He leads us to pray. Jesus led His disciples to pray. He leads you to pray. Say, He leads me to pray. Hallelujah. But you have a very busy schedule. He will lead you to pray all night. Just led to pray all night. Wake up and pray. You know, many things you will achieve. In this life in prayer, you may not know until the end of this life. Many lives have been preserved because some people obeyed. I am a product of people's prayers. I know. When I look back and I think, was I lucky? No, I wasn't. Some people were led and they yielded to it. Sometimes, hear this, Satan leads you to get into offense with people God put you in their lives to preserve them. He just gets offense. Because the moment offense sets in, you can't yield to God's Spirit. So you watch for offenses. He leads you. That's why He says, watch this. Put away all bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Okay? Be not angry and sin. And do not sin. Take it away. He says, keep the devil far away from you, verse 27. Give no room to the devil. Give no foothold. When offense is setting, you won't pray. Times you ought to be praying for that brother, you are thinking about what he did to you. Times you ought to be praying for that sister, you are musing over bitterness and anger. Yet, there is no relationship in our lives that God has ordained that we don't pray about. We don't pray for them. So you have to be careful of those times you are just angry, you are bitter, and you have reasons, justifiable reasons. I've seen Christians justify bitterness. And they say, no, I have forgiven him. And they will say it confidently. I have forgiven him. God knows from my heart I have forgiven him. I'm serious, no? And they will laugh. I'm serious, so. Nothing in my You learn that from the world. It's the world that makes you dead in your conscience that way. You're led to pray. Hallelujah. In the coming days, starting from tonight, God's Spirit will bring those pictures back to you. People you ought to pray about, or things you ought to pray for, that you hurriedly took it off your mind. I'm saying it by the Spirit of God tonight. From tonight henceforth, they'll come back to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They'll come back to you. Amen. You know, as I'm speaking to you, there are people that God has put you in their lives to just be praying for all the time. All the time. All the time. Now those folks, they can get you offended. If you're not careful, they won't be perfect people. But it doesn't make any sense for you to walk in the flesh because somebody else walks in the flesh. When somebody walks in the flesh, it's for you to walk in the spirit. It's not for you to walk in the flesh. If somebody does the wrong thing, then you do the right thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I obey the voice of the good shepherd. I yield to him to learn. I yield to him to give. I yield to him to pray. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Brother shared with me how he listened to our teaching, Adventures of in Prayer. And he said he just began to pray. He said from that night he began to pray. And the man who was having depression. People don't know that pastors can have depression. What is it of this due to your pastor? Can't that depress people? You know, when you had hope for a member, and the church member just decided to do for their wife. And you have been depressing for years. You don't feel like, God. Let this is not come. This is a bucket. Let this pass over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was on well Sunday, and they were sharing alcohol. Say, give it to the man of God. I said, let this cup pass over me. They all had to laugh. You know, the truth is, you are led by God's Spirit in those simple things. Many of us want to hear a voice. I've called you, ordained you, appointed you, disappointed you. Set your feet now. And I'm going to show you forth to the nations of the world. If he's going to show everybody the nations, who are the nations? Hallelujah. Let's pray. So he said he prayed for a pastor who was in depression, who was about to commit suicide. To the glory of God, the last 2 years or so, I have helped at least 10 people come out of suicide cases. Just by reaching out to them. And there are more that we can do. Hallelujah. He just said he prayed. And the guy, you know, has been restored back in ministry and he's better than before. Why? Because he was led to pray. Sometimes you go do evangelism and then you see someone and the person will be the harshest of all your candidates for salvation. Get out of here! God punish you. You know, I've heard that before. God, One of the first experiences I had, I want to share somewhere. So I was sharing with this lady. She had gone through a problem in the family. So I said, no, I'm for you in Christ Jesus. And I was sharing with her. The mom looked at me. And then there was a brother who were together. I think the brother sensed what was going on. The brother moved away. I didn't see him again. The brother said, are you brother? I said, yes, sir. I came to share the word of God. I said, okay. She just went inside. I'm brought, you know, when you grind pepper, that water they used to wash. Okay, some of you now do, you use grinder. You know how they wash it? Right there on Lagos Road, Ikorodu. She said, she was chasing me on the road, pouring the fire. Man of God, I know. Hallelujah. The lady was in church a couple of years ago, I think 3 years ago. Hallelujah. And I went back again. Sometimes harsh conditions, God is leading you to train you. Because a day is going to come, you will need that hardness. Praise the Lord. And every time I disobey God's spirit, I'm empowering disobedience in my life. The more I obey, the more I will keep obeying. The more I disobey, the more I'll keep disobeying. And there's coming to, some people get to a point that their hearts no longer respond to God's leading. So, if you're led to pray the first time, I told you, you don't know when God will stop speaking. Maybe it's the first time. You know, Jesus told us, let us pray the first time. So, changing our thoughts for your thoughts. He came again. Can't you hear me? So sorry. You know, I had a very busy day. You know, what I do for a living. But I'm a fisherman. You know, the fish were very heavy today, so I pray. Oh, I pray. Oh, God, I have a car. When he came the third time to another, he said, Lord, it's time. He said, no, sleep on. Ah. That means God speak and say, sleep on. The time has passed. You don't have time for everything. He said, sleep on. If God tells you to keep sleeping, what are you? The hour has passed. Praise the Lord. He leads us to pray. See, I yield to God. To learn. To give. And to also pray. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. You know something? At that time, he wants you to give or pray or learn. Hear me. I forgot to say this. And so God just reminded me now to say it. Never expect circumstances to be favorable. Those who want things to be favorable before they obey God never get to obey him. God's spirit ignores whether you have a problem at the office, whether you have this one. It deals with eternal things. So watch those moments when things are not going well in the natural. They are the times we disobey God's spirit the most. Because naturally we're already down, in the sense of being down. Our expectations are not met. We have these desires not yet met. We have this trouble here. And then God is leading you to do things. Watch those moments. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost.